Good morning. These words from our Psalms lesson this morning. The Lord has done great things for us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is doing great things for us as we are joined together on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. We have multiple announcements. I'm going to make them go as fast as I can. But before I do any of that, I want to say welcome to those of you who are visiting with us. It is good to see you here this morning. And as you settle into the pews this morning, our prayer is that the Spirit will settle upon you in such a way that you will feel the blessings of the Lord when you leave this place. For those of you who are regulars here, for those faces you're not familiar with, make sure you say a warm welcome to them. Let me go ahead and call Chandra and Bruce, if the two of you would go ahead. And as you all are coming up, I want to draw attention, if you will, to these beautiful, beautiful flowers. Absolutely stunning in this sanctuary full of purple and red. And we owe that to not only the gift of, but the generosity of using her gifts to Vicki Cook. And so when you see Vicki, would you please just give her a thank you, give her a hug, just let her know how much we appreciate not only, like I said, the beauty of this, but appreciate her generosity in putting these together for us. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Which is wonderful. I have used it for my dad, and they were so good. And it also covers the Presbyterian Village North. So, first Sunday of our offering, first Sunday of Advent.
Thank you.
You know, I have to follow such an eloquent speaker. So I'll make mine very short and very sweet. 2 weeks from today, if it's not already on your calendar, it needs to be there. It's Christmas caroling time. So we will have more information for you shortly as to what time and all the activities. Our plan is a little something different this year. And as I said, we'll have more information for you certainly next week. Okay? 2 weeks from today, Christmas caroling.
All right. Okay. This may be the appropriate time to do jingle bells. Apparently, someone has left keys in the women's bathroom. Christine and I are kindred spirits when it comes to keys. So, and keeping it sort of light at this moment, we want to say congratulations to Jacob. He just let me know that he won first place in powerlifting competition. And Jacob, we are always very, very proud of you. So. Christmas Village, it's here. It is here. For those who have not brought in your clothing or your pajamas, if you would do that ASAP, that would be great. We have to take account of all of that, make sure that every child has everything that we have said we are going to give, and if something is missing, that gives us time to go and to replenish that. So if you have not brought it, if you could bring it in the first couple of days this week, that would be very good. And along that same line, if you will notice this morning, this is just a sampling. We have hygiene products, we have cleaning products, we have food, we have coats, we have blankets, we have toys, we have Bibles, and so many more things. This is just a sampling of what happens next Saturday with our guest from the Pleasant Grove Food Pantry. And so this morning, when we offer our prayers of the people, we are going to bless yet again what God has allowed us to do this year in providing these wonderful, wonderful gifts to these families. The Longest Night Service, Wednesday evening. For those of you who don't know what that is, Christmas is not always a joyful time for people. There are times when we have lost loved ones. There are times when we have lost jobs. We've lost hopes and dreams. And this is just a service that allows us to go to God in the solemnity of prayer and yet still with thanksgiving, but just a little bit different than the bells and the whistles of Christmas. So if you would like to join us, it is a short communion service Wednesday night in the chapel. We would love to have you come. Our prayers. You take note of what's in the bulletin. Obviously, we lift the Bush family up in prayers as they are grieving the loss of a wonderful man, no matter what side of the political fence you sit on. And then we also are grieving the loss of Laura Hicks. My understanding is that some persons received an email, some persons did not. So if this is the first time you are hearing this, Laura Hicks did pass away unexpectedly on Thursday evening. And so the family is meeting with the funeral home even as we speak. And again, as I have more information, I will get that information to you. But certainly keep Robin and all of their family in our prayers. A wonderful lady that we have lost. But we turn our hearts to God in hope, not just the hope of what is to come, but the hope that we have right before our eyes in this very moment. So as we lift our voices in song and as we prepare during this season of waiting, I pray that the Spirit will rest upon you with peace.
Thank you. this December? By faith, are we waiting for the Lord? Advent is a season of waiting, but this year, let it also be a season of giving. Long ago, God saw his children had a great need for a Savior. But even now, there's need for Christ to come down into our lives. There is still the need for us to be God's messengers, giving the good news of salvation in Christ. As we wait in faith, may we not forget to do the good Christ has called us to do right now. This day, we light the candle of love. For as the Lord has given love to us, we are called to give his love to others. Let us pray. Lord of love,
in these moments of silent reflection, you have in front of you just some things for your imagining. I invite you to enter into that time of silent reflecting. And now I invite you to take the card that you have in your bulletin. And if you will, simply rip it in half. What you have before you is something that is torn. There is a scar. There are rough edges around it. And without glue or without tape or without staples, you and I can't put this back together again. It's much like our lives. When our lives are broken, they can be mended, but it takes the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of the Lord in Jesus Christ to make that brokenness whole once again. We can wait. We can wait for restoration. We can wait for forgiveness. We can wait to be saved. Because we know through the promise of Jesus, through the promise of God in Jesus Christ, we are saved. We will once again be made whole. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Speak to us, O Lord.
Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like these who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy, those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Here ends the reading.
Thank you.
reading this morning from Luke's Gospel is kind of the second half of a story that when we get to the sermon, we're going to sort of work our way backwards. But for now, what we are reading is Zechariah's Song of Praise. And I invite you to read scripture with me. Then John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the God, Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably upon his people and has redeemed them.
He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of the servant David, as he spoke with the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all nations.
Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and he has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. Thanks be to God, for whose word never fades nor withers, but lasts forever. Amen. Well, I would like to say that Christmas music began at our house after Thanksgiving, but you know it ain't so. Christmas music begins in our household when Gary fires up the lawnmower and puts on his earbuds, or if we're just out and about in the yard when the Christmas music plays over the loudspeakers throughout the yard. You know, sometimes I think my husband has confused the green stuff and the white stuff. But either way, we get to listen to Christmas music for a long time. And needless to say, Christmas music, the melodies, the lyrics, the stories that are behind the music hold such a dear place in our heart. After all, they are God's love story in Jesus Christ. The biblical carols in story form, written 2,000 years ago plus, are really the stories behind the story. Capital T-H-E, capital S-T-O-R-Y. God's story, as in God's entrance into the world in the form of a child named Jesus. When Scripture was translated into Latin, there were four songs in particular that kept their Latin titles. They were identified by either the first few words or lines or a phrase that we now know as the story songs. We know them as Mary's song, Zechariah's song, the angel's song, Simeon's songs. And over the course of the next few weeks and on into Christmas Eve, we're going to be taking a closer look at how these story songs are set up and what they have to say to us in our time. But today, we're going to start with Zechariah's song. Why? Well, because it's the first recorded event in any of the Gospels that lets us know that there is preparation for the coming of the birth of Christ. Matthew, as you all know, begins with the announcement to Mary. Mark and John, they began with John the Baptist's ministry. The format for the sermons over these next few weeks is going to be perhaps a little more, I'm making this word up, lesson-y. Sounds like a good word to me. They're going to be a little more lesson-y than I normally do. And so I'm going to put my teacher's hat on and away we go. In Zechariah's time, the people of Israel had endured over 400 years of slavery. The glory days of King Solomon and King David were behind them, and the people had sort of already settled in to this sense of being exiled, this sense of separation. They were accustomed to being wanderers by now. The Roman government gave the Jews just enough freedom in their worship to keep control over them. There was a temple. But in that temple, there was no Ark of the Covenant. There was no mercy seat. And those are the two holy things that for the Jewish people signaled the presence of God. When the Ark of the Covenant disappeared during the Babylonian invasion, it was, at least to the Jewish people, the beginning of what they called God's long silence. For over 400 years, there was not a word from God. The temple was the place, no longer where God was present, but it was the place where people went to pray for God's presence once again. And waiting in faith, the high priest would enter the temple and the Holy of Holies. They would go there every year on the Day of Atonement. They would offer goat's blood as a sacrifice meant to bring reconciliation or atonement, or as theology likes to say, at one meant with God again. It seemed like an empty tradition at this point, if God is not there. But the faith of the people was anything but empty. Throughout ancient scripture, God had promised over and over again to come and to speak to the people. And not only would he speak through a prophet, to the people God promised would come. And that is an important word. To the people would come a Messiah, a Savior, a Holy One. And in that promised one, those who lived on the dark side of the soul would find that their soul and their life would be lightened once again. Over and over again, 400 years, God promised this. I don't know about you, but it's no wonder to me that Zechariah's faith is a little bit on shaky ground. You and I have a hard enough time believing that the internet is going to work when it takes more than 30 seconds to download something. Perhaps even less than 30 seconds. 400 years. Who's going to believe that promise? Who is going to wait for that? Well, apparently, Elizabeth, and somewhat reluctantly at first, Zechariah, even though Zechariah was a Levite priest. He had been chosen by what they called the lottery system to be one of the priests who would enter the temple on a daily basis, burn the incense, and pray to the holy. And what we have to understand is there were over 18,000 priests at that point in history, and they were invited to serve for two-week stints. Here's the big deal. They could only do that once in a lifetime. Once. So for Zechariah, this is as good as it gets. He gets to go in to the Holy of Holies. He gets to pray. And pray he does. We're not given his words, but the words of the angel Gabriel say to us that apparently one of Zechariah's prayers had to have been for a child, because the angel says, "Your prayers have been heard." Elizabeth would have a son, and they were going to name him John. John the Baptist, we would later call him. And what we have in this story, small story, is the beginning of God shaping the bigger story. And it is because of that story that you and I to this day continue to be shaped into those people who are waiting with expectancy for the coming of the Lord. If you go back a little bit earlier in Luke's gospel, you'll learn that God finally breaks his silence, and Zechariah, the priest, shakes his head and he says, "How in the world is this promise going to come true?" I want us to stop and think about that. How often do you pray? How often do I pray? And our prayers are answered, and yet we scratch our heads and we say, "Is that really your answer, God? Can you give me yet another sign? Can you give me something a little more concrete?" Apparently, we are in good company with Zechariah. And so Gabriel, in essence, says to Zechariah, "Here's your sign. Your voice will be silenced." And if we read between the lines, we might also assume that his ears will be stopped up. In 9 months during the pregnancy of Elizabeth, Zechariah is going to experience what Israel experienced for 400 years, silence. He could not speak. Perhaps he could not hear. What we have in the witness of Scripture is that sometimes God is quiet, because you and I need to stop talking. You and I need to stop asking in order to discover that the sign that we have been asking for is already right there in front of us. But long before Zechariah's silence is broken, he sings out in songs of praise. We know that Elizabeth tells her relatives that they are going to name this child John. And the people began to question why. Well, because tradition would say that the child should be Zechariah Jr. Where in the world did they come up with the name John? And what we think may be a sign that Zechariah cannot hear is the fact that those who are around him began to sign to him. And they're asking him, forget Elizabeth, they're saying, hey, what's going on here? Why isn't he being named after you? Where we find Zechariah's hope is that he takes a tablet and he definitively writes, his name is John. He believes that the prayers have been answered. He has used his time of silence to pray and to reflect and to embrace the truth and the consequences of his unbelief. He seeks repentance. He prays for strength in his faith. He finds once again joy in worship. Oh, that we could more often learn these lessons in our moments of unbelief. Because what happens in those moments of unbelief when we say, give me faith, Lord, is that we experience that second part of Zechariah's song where he finds his voice again, and in his voice is praise. Praise and thanksgiving. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he makes this powerful declaration of God's faithfulness in keeping promises, and then he asks of us, future generations, to keep the faith. I imagine, like any father, Zechariah loves his child. But this song is not about John or John the Baptist. It is about thanking God for the promised one that God will send, thanking God for the Messiah. It's a powerful message that asks of us, even in our day and time, to make sure we put God first. Because when we put God first, everything else falls in line. We do others right when we do right by God. Zechariah understood that. He understood what it meant to dedicate his child to God. He understood that his child, his son, was important, but more important was God's son. His son was just the forerunner. Jesus was the promised Messiah. You and I have, I think, so much to learn when it comes to the kinds of things that make us offer praise and joy and thanksgiving. What is it really, if you're honest with yourself, what is it really that brings you joy? What makes your heart sing? What makes you want to shout out in applause and thanksgiving? Zechariah initially doubted the word of Gabriel, but from the text, we glean that he did what the faithful did, what the faithful are being asked to do, and that is to wait in faith. God's promise is not empty. It's not empty in 2018. It's not empty in 2019. It is not empty ever. With his renewed faith, Zechariah's voice returns, and it returns 6 months before Mary delivers Jesus. But Zechariah is so convinced that the truth of God has been spoken that he goes out and he says, this child that Mary is carrying, this child is the Messiah. In this child, God will come. That's a key word in this song. Come. In the commentaries, they say that the theme of blessing can be found in two of the verses that we have read today. One being, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. That's going back to the original Greek. Our NRSV says he looks favorable. The original Greek says he has come to us. And the second verse, the rising of the sun will come to us from heaven. That verb, come, is from the root word that means to visit personally. It is the same word that Jesus uses when he declares, I was sick and you visited me. It's a word that means God's visit is about bringing blessings to all that he comes in contact with. And for us, that word visit translates for us to be moved by the things of the world that we see, so moved that we want to be God's blessing to others also. In this song, this benedictus or this blessing, we know that God's plan is not simply to deliver us from something, it is to deliver us to something. And what he is delivering us to is hope. And he's asking us to wait in faith for the hope that he has promised. And just as Zechariah knew the path of this child, John, you and I are called to remember that we need to make a path, a way for Christ. It's a humbling and it is an amazing place to be. We're not called to be great. We are called to point others to the one who is greatness personified, to Jesus Christ. Some food for thought this week, as together we wait in faith for that coming again, that ultimate visit of our Lord. Do we live with purpose and passion, intentionally and consciously banking on the promises of God? If God called you, if God called me to an unusual and even challenging role, would we be Elizabeth? Or would we be Zechariah? And finally, like Zechariah, like Elizabeth, like John, how can we make our place in the world less in order that we can make God more? Amen.
Please let us all stand and say what we believe.
Our hope for peace, like the vision of those prophets all of those years ago, is expressed in the ministry of the church, Christ's church, this church, where God's children can come, where they can learn to walk and, yes, even run in the paths of God's goodness. When we give our gifts today, we give in hope, believing that God has done great things for us, and God continues to do great things for us. And so today, may what we offer be gathered up, and may we give from the deepest joy and gratitude of our hearts. Let us receive God's tithes and our offerings.
Oh God, throughout the next 4 weeks, may we live into a renewed spirit of generosity that exhibits the hope, peace, love, and joy. We offer our gifts and our lives to you in the name of the Lord. Amen.
This is the Lord's invitation. Come from wherever you have been. Come. Those of you who are brokenhearted, and let the rescue begin. Come, find your mercy, because earth's sorrow can be healed. Lay down your burdens, lift up your face. There's hope for the hopeless, there is hope for all who have strayed. So come and sit at table. Come, taste this grace, this unconditional love that has been prepared for you. Come, says the Lord, just as you are. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
How can we keep from praising you, God? You spoke and your Spirit breathed life into the world, and yet we let ourselves be guided by another, led into that wilderness of sin. In your love and your grief for us, you sent the prophets to bring us back into your grace, and yet again we ignored you. In your time, you sent your most precious possession, your Son, Jesus Christ. So with all creation echoing the songs of the angels, we join our voices in praising your name.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When we thought we could do no wrong, he came to make us right. When the world had forgotten us, he called us by a new name. When the time came, he went to the cross that we might be set free from sin. As we celebrate his birth and remember his death and resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will.
And now, guiding Spirit, as you moved over creation, come to bless this bread and this cup and your children who are gathered around this table. Feed us. Fill us. And then send us out into the world to be your light for others. And then when the time comes and when we're all gathered together in heaven, we will rejoice as we join hands and as we dance around your eternal table, singing our praises to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And Lord, as we enter into this season of waiting, we come face to face with the realization that there are people who want instant answers to questions. We want to know how everything will work in our lives. We want to understand the bigger picture, and so help us wait in order that we may see that broader picture. We may see the scope of your faithfulness and your love for us. And remind us all of the time when we have been lifted up, and all of the times that you have brought us to new opportunities for learning and for growing and maturing in faith. Let us place our trust in you totally, Lord, without reservation, for you are faithful and you are just. Lord, you have blessed us with the gift of ministry in this church that reaches within and beyond our doors. And as we prepare to celebrate yet again this blessing that you have brought to our doorsteps, the blessing we know as Christmas Village, we ask that you will take all of the things that we bring and turn those, Lord, into relationships. Relationships with those who come to our doors, relationship with those who leave. But most of all, Lord, may the things that we bring be a reminder of the greatest relationship that we all can have, and that is with your Son as our Lord and Savior. For our Eastminster family, Lord, particularly this day for Laura's family, We ask that that spirit of hope settle up on them in such a way that even in their grief, they can rejoice knowing that Laura is at home. For the Bush family, we ask that same blessing and that same comfort. Lord, for Larna and her family, for all of those, Lord, that we have lifted before you and voiced, those we have given to you in the silence of our hearts, we ask now that you come and you visit us with your answers in your time and in your way. And as we have brought our prayers before you, we ask that you help us place our trust in your response. It's a love, Lord, that you have promised that will never be separated from us because of your love in Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we now pray. Even as we begin this season of remembering the birth of our Lord, we come to this table and we remember the sacrifice on the other end. We remember his death. We remember that our Lord sat at the table with his disciples and he gave thanks to God for the very gift of bread. And after he had done that, he took the loaf, he broke it, and he said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you. And every time you eat it, remember me." And then he took the cup and he said to his disciples in thanksgiving, "This is a sign of a new covenant. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. It is a lasting covenant for all times. And every time you drink this, remember me." Our God is a God of good gifts. And today, we wait in God's goodness as together we remember all of the blessings of our Lord.
Thank you.
By these gifts of bread and cup, may we be clothed with your abundant grace. May the hungry be fed with food that strengthens us and hope given to all who are searching for new life in Christ. Amen.
And these words now from the Apostle Paul: go out into the world in faith. Have courage. Hold on to that which is good. Return no one evil for evil. Support the faint-hearted. Give strength to those who are weak. Love and serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit. Go now in the knowledge that there is hope, even as we have to wait for it. The love of God be with us all. Amen.